with us. And joining us, we have David Ryan, three-time U.S. investing champion. So great to be here with you all.
Great.
Good morning.
Thank you. Morning.
Morning.
And we have our IBD friends in the background helping us answer questions as usual. And we'll get through as many of those as we can throughout our next 90 minutes together. We cannot get to all of your questions, even though we wish we could. Also, you only see the answered questions, not the hundreds of unanswered questions that are getting submitted every day. But we do our best to focus on stocks and strategies that are most relevant to the current market. Also, regarding the Q&A, IBD does not provide any individualized or personal investment advice, so we can't answer any questions that reflect your individual situation, needs, or objectives. So please make sure when you're asking a question that you don't give us any information about your personal situation or your portfolio holdings and don't disclose what you own. IBD Live is for informational and educational purposes only. Please make sure to do your own research before making any trades, as we are not making trade recommendations. Also, I want to remind everyone that we've got a great FAQ page at investors.com/IBDLive FAQ with tons of great resources there, including Justin's weekly industry group spreadsheet, our monthly guest lineup, links to tons of great explainer articles, and much more. So, with all of that, let's go ahead and get started with our show here and get some tickers from our panel. So, starting with you, Arnie, what do you want us to take a look at today?
Morning, Rachel. Absolutely. Doing some research out there. Obviously, there's very slim pickings out there, but one stock that showed up on the Growth 250 near pivot is stock ticker DRS, Leonardo DRS Inc. In the aerospace defense industry.
Okay. Yep, there are definitely some names in there worth looking at. We'll get to that. And David, tell me what are you looking at today?
What am I looking at? I really couldn't find a ticker that I thought was, set up nicely. So I'm just going to say cash, and I'll discuss the reasons why cash is an option. And there are many times where you should have a lot of cash. So that's I've got a few points to go over on that.
All right, well, looking forward to that discussion with you. And before we get to analyzing Arnie's ticker, many other tickers, and hearing from you on that, we are going to go ahead and hand it over to Ed Carson to give us a rundown on the news. Take it away, Ed.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Futures are not looking great. SPY down 0.5% in this, and the S&P almost got above its 50-day line, but it's going to back away from that. The NASDAQ 100, that is down 0.6 right now. So that one had, this was a leader, so like a, and the NASDAQ's probably down something similar. IWM for the Russell 2000. That is down 1.2%. So that may go back underneath the 50-day line once again. And the Dow is down 0.8 as well. 10-year Treasury yield is up to 4.14%. So that is popping up, and you can see a pretty big increase over, over this week. Understand, a lot of things going on, so rising up there. Crude oil. So if you look at USO, crude oil is up more than 3% to above $77 a barrel. This might be a 52-week high or a 52-week closing high at the very least, if we trade around here. An oil tanker suffered an explosion. It was off either off the coast of Iraq or Kuwait. I'm not exactly sure. So it's pretty far north in the Persian Gulf. And it's also that it's not clear what happened. I think a small boat may have collided. It was one of those small boats coming with explosives and hitting it. But in any case, that just raises the tensions. Even if we knock out the missiles, which we're increasingly doing, the US military, there's drones, there's just these little asymmetrical kind of attacks. Jobless claims, pretty much in line, 213,000 versus estimated 215,000. Layoff announcements from Challenger. This is what companies say they're going to lay off, 48,307, down 55% from January and 72% versus a year earlier. Productivity, this is our first reading on Q4, 2.8% annual rate, higher than expected of 1.9%. The prior was revised up, which was already very strong, revised up to 5.2%. Again, productivity is like the ultimate thing. This is where you can get, if you talk about economic growth, wage growth, long-term productivity growth is where it's at. Unit labor costs, which is sort of counter to that, 2.8% increase after a prior revised 1.8% increase, 1.8% decline in Q3. Broadcom, if we go to AVGO, beat views, 29% revenue gain. I think that was a slight acceleration again. AI revenue doubled, and the company guided up on Q2 revenue and so on. They make custom AI chips. They also do a lot of software too, let's be clear. But that is something that is something out there. So other chip makers aren't necessarily rising on this news, and there's obviously the futures are down. One thing that Broadcom said is that they basically talking about, you know, the interconnects between data centers, you know, between the in at data centers, they sort of went on the side of copper versus optical gear for now. So that is good news for CRDO, but not good news for, and this one was up like 8% pre-market, where Lite, LITE, and COAHR, which are more in the optical, those were down. Of course, there's other reasons why they'd be down. The market is down, but there's that. Meanwhile, on a related note, Ciena, which does optical gear, so they might also be affected by that, but they had earnings. Beat views, like more than doubled their earnings. Their revenue growth was 34%, guided up on Q2 and full year revenue, but this is still down. Of course, again, the stock has tripled in basically the last 6 months. So, you know, you have to keep that in mind. Burlington, BURL, beat views, slightly beat on revenue, 11%. Comps are up 4%, guided in line for 2026. BJ's wholesale beat slightly, 6% revenue gain, 1.6% comps gain, guided low though on 2026 EPS. Costco will report tonight. That's just something to, you know, out there. And while we're here, we might as well mention Marvell, which also does custom AI chips like Broadcom. They will report tonight as well. Marvell was actually rising a little bit because of Broadcom. Let's see here. VSCO, Victoria's Secret, beat views, slightly beat on revenue. I thought it guided up on Q1 and 2026 revenue, but the stock is down. So obviously something was in there that was negative. AEO, American Eagle, beat views, 10% revenue gain, comps up 8%. That's mostly due to its Aerie thing, but gross margins fell on tariffs and markdowns. So that one's down pretty sharply. Morgan Stanley, MS, is going to cut 2,500 jobs, 3% of the total, with cuts across all regions, Wall Street Journal reported. Sting, STNG, this is Scorpio Tankers. It's going to sell three tankers and charter out a couple more. Okta, cybersecurity firm, beat views, 12% revenue gain. Q1 guidance was light, guided up on full year revenue. Obviously, the stock has been down a lot, so it might be rising in part because of that. Veeva, VEEV, the bio life sciences software maker, beat views, 16% revenue gain, guided up. BLLN, billion to one, easily beat on EPS, beat on revenue, 113%, guided up on full year revenue. BLLN. So this one often doesn't trade that much yet before the open. So we'll see. This has gone, I saw it all over the place in the pre-market. JD.com missed views, 1.5% revenue decline. E-commerce is sort of revenues down. They're spending a ton on food delivery. That's hurting them. Dave, they had strong guidance yesterday, priced $175 million convertible debt offering today. So it's still rising on that. Robinhood is going to do a new platinum invite-only credit card, $695 annual fee. So it's trying to compete with the top cards. So Robinhood Hood, which is, you know, used to be for these, you know, Gen Zers who had no money. Obviously, they've gone up a little more upscale now on terms of who they're trying to appeal to. Berkshire Hathaway, BRKB, is buying back shares of A and B. They hadn't done that for quite a while, you know, for several quarters. So that's happening. IPI, Intrepid Potash, easily beat on EPS and revenue, 36% revenue gain. So IPI is doing well. Some of those names have been doing well. IREN, IREN, it's filed for an at-the-market equity program of up to $6 billion. They're also buying 50,000 Blackwell chips. So now it'll have a total of 150 GPUs. So we'll see about that. BYDDF, they announced their second generation battery and flash charging. So these charging things that can go to 1.5 gigahertz charging. So they're claiming 5 minutes to go from 10% to 70%, 9 minutes to go from 10% to 97%. They did charging for like 30% minus Celsius for 24 hours, the battery, and it's still charged up in 12 minutes from 20% to 97. So they're really pushing that in the gigahertz. They're going to do a ton of flash chargers. BYD has been getting killed at the domestic market, completely killed. So they're really hoping to do this. They're going to roll out a bunch of company vehicles with these blade batteries and stuff. So we'll see. Again, every EV maker worth its salt in China is rolling out new models and tech, except for one, of course. But so I don't know how impressive. It still seems like this is impressive stuff, but it's hard to know because everybody is rolling out new stuff at this time of the year. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. All right. Well, we're going to go over and take a look at the overall market now. So I'm going to just do a quick review of kind of what we've been seeing. Yesterday, on Wednesday, we saw the NASDAQ take back that 1% loss that we saw on Tuesday. We saw it close just slightly below the 21-day line and right near, kind of near highs of the day. We did see that pink rally day on Tuesday, which is where an index closes lower, but in the upper half of its daily price range, and that kind of implies the start of a potential rally. And Wednesday's action definitely followed through, but it's really hard to be, excited about any kind of uptrend potential at this moment because we've got a lot of levels to clear. We've got such an uncertain environment, and just to highlight Mike Webster's comment on yesterday's IBD Live show. He called this environment a dangerous one, and that it's just been really hard to buy on strength the last few months. So, David Ryan, welcome to the Thursday show. I'd love to hear how you're making sense of the market action over the last, 1.5 weeks since you've been on with us.
Well, I don't like the action. It's a very, very difficult market, and really it's been this way since all the way back in October. We had a great uptrend. All the averages were above the moving all the yeah the indexes were above the moving averages, but now we're getting into this back and forth, back and forth, and it's an environment, and that's why I didn't come up with a ticker symbol. It's an environment where you really should have a tremendous amount of cash, unless you can find exactly the right, the right stocks to get into. But even the ones that have had good uptrends can get hit so hard. I mean, you just take some of the gold stocks that were roaring into new high ground or coming back up to test their highs. Well, they got hit very, very hard on, I guess that was on Monday, and so. There and in even that, I mean, even that pattern, if you look at that, you got hit back in January from, 500 down to, 422, and then you rallied up, which is kind of a weaker, it almost looks like a kind of a weak rally on lower volume, and then gets hit again. So and you're finding that in a lot of different areas. And then they've run the oil stocks. A lot of those have done well, and maybe those are a bit extended now. And they've even run consumer staples. And so I'm kind of searching around trying to find, okay, what's the next group? What's going to start working? And I'm really kind of striking out into where to go to. And so I, the most and one of the most important things that Bill did in developing this discipline, and what's so great about this discipline is that it gets you into the market when things are set up and things are starting to break out and follow through. And it also gets you out of the market when things are breaking down and rolling over and falling through moving averages. And so we're at a time where if you're disciplined and you're sticking to the different, characteristics that he talked about, you probably won't be finding much that is working. And that just moves you over to cash. And so that's where I think we should be. We should be sitting out, watching, continuing to update lists, continuing to look for setups. And sooner or later, maybe it'll be next week, maybe it'll be 3 months from now, but stocks will start showing up again. that have the characteristics we like to find, and that's when you go. But there are absolutely times where you just got to sit on your hands and really do nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of felt like a sit on your hands type of situation for a while now, and we know that eventually things change. You know, we'll break out of this either into a corrective downturn or we will hit another uptrend again. But it does make sense to sit out for a minute and not try to chase things or force things, as you were saying.
Yeah,
So.
and the other thing is, if you have stocks that you have bought at much lower prices and they're still above their major moving averages, there's no problem in staying with those. And but if they start breaking 200-day moving averages and the stock is starting to roll and hit new lows, you've got to at some point, sell positions or at least cut them back. Because I can't tell you how many times in the 2000 to 2003 period, people came up to me as I was giving different seminars and such, that they would say, I made so much money in the dot-com era, but, and it they always start with that same line, but they gave it all back. A sell discipline is as important as a buy discipline. And so you really have to have you really have to know when to start selling stocks and when to start raising cash.
Absolutely, yeah. And your exposure right now is low. I mean, the recommended IBD exposure is between 40 and 60%, but you're keeping it
No,
lower.
no, I'm probably 10% invested. And these are smaller positions. And really that's what you should do. When if your style, no matter if it's longer term or short term, if it's not working, if you've had a number of trades in a row that end up with losses, start slowing down. Don't go after everything that every breakout or try to force money into the market. Try smaller positions. And just take it much, much slower, because you just don't want to keep on forcing and forcing and forcing, because what happens is you start getting chopped up. And I did this in, I mean, we want to go way back in 1982, August of 82, the big bull market started. And I had a great move. I had an account that went from 60,000, sorry, 30,000 to over 60 in during that August through, I guess it lasted into probably spring of 1983. But then from 1983 all the way into 1984, the market got very, very choppy, and I kept on trying to buy breakouts, and they just didn't work, didn't work. I took that account from 60,000 all the way back down, all the way to under $20,000. And I learned the lesson that when things are not working out, you just stop or cut back, hold cash until really great setups start happening.
It's just about being patient and yeah,
Yeah.
it won't be like this forever.
No.
And David, can we also get a status update on what's happening with the Innovator IBD 50 index? I believe there's some important updates for shareholders and people interested.
Yeah, Goldman Sachs is buying out Innovator Capital Management, and that includes the Innovator IBD funds, which is FFTY and BOUT. And I'm part of a group called Capital Force ETFs that are actually going to be buying those two ETFs. So right now, if there's anybody out there that has money in either FFTY or BOUT, you should be receiving a proxy in the mail or by email, and we'd like you to vote yes, so we could take over those funds. And what we're doing right now is just reviewing the process, how the stocks are picked, and just looking at the whole structure of those ETFs and possibly making changes in the future. But the most important thing is, if you are a shareholder in those, is to fill out those proxies, send them in, so we can make this transfer from Innovator to a Capital Force.
All right. Well, we will try to keep everyone posted on the timing of everything with regards to that. But yeah, thank you for those updates.
Can I
Okay.
quickly jump in?
Sure.
If anyone wants more information, just let us know in the Q&A. I do have a web link for you that spells out some more details. It is the Capital Force ETF website, and you
Website.
can find more information there.
Very good. Thank you, Allie.
Thank you.
All right, well, we'll move over to the rest of the panel to get other thoughts here before we get into stock analysis. So, Ed, how are you holding up right now? And what areas of the market do you think we could be looking at, if any? Or is it, are you kind of with David Ryan here, just hang out in cash?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are times like last year when you just think about last year. When was the time to be making money? Well, so you buy in April, May, June, and then it ran up. Oh, look at that nice, you just focus on this right now. There was that nice run up from April to October. That was when you wanted to be heavily involved. I mean, especially from May on. Okay, we got this power trend, we're going boom, boom, boom. That's where you made the money. You didn't want to be in the market from February to April of 2025. That's when we had the DeepSeek tariff, sell off. And the last few months have not been good. In fact, it's been worse than the bear market because things are working. Some things are working. So it keeps on teasing people. It's like the mythical sirens luring sailors in and then crashing on the rocks, kind of thing, because it's like there are real things. You look at RSP, there are stocks that are, there RSP is pretty close to highs. I mean, we didn't have the, it's probably down today. I haven't looked, but okay, it's down a smidge, but it's that hasn't been doing badly. So there are things that are working. That's the problem. If this were back in last April, you knew, or back in last March, you knew things were going bad. I mean, that was not a good time period. So, but and the thing is, there are times to be in. It's like I like to, like you say, I like to go on picnics. Nobody likes to go on picnics in the rain. So when it's raining, don't go outside and demand to have a picnic. I mean, it's just as simple as that. Wait for it to be sunny. I mean, it's like it's you know, and if it's like growing up in Oregon, it would sometimes rain here, then it'd stop raining, come back, back and forth. You can chance it, but you don't know if you're going to get it. Maybe it'll work out, maybe it won't. If you make a bunch of buys, maybe a couple of them work. That's great. But generally, it's just like it's a lot of work for pennies and landlines, and it's not. So yeah, if you do things, you have to be extremely disciplined to get out. But it's still so much hard work. It's just easier to be waiting for a better market, for the most part. I think aerospace looks good, but that's partly, there are things that are going well. Software's rebounding, but most of those stocks are in terrible shape. I think in a bad, choppy market, medicals often do well. But everything, and set aside the Iran thing, like if you go to the S&P, we'll go up, down, and we go up for a couple of days, then down for a couple of days. So it's hard to make money on strength. So all of those things. It's just, all the major indexes are below their 50-day lines. There's just so many reasons not to get involved right now and just wait for a better time. And that could happen soon. It could happen very soon. On the other hand, if we get a couple more tankers to blow up and crude oil, Brent crude goes to $100, and US crude goes to 90, I mean, then you start worrying about, real economic troubles around the world, kind of thing. So I mean, you can go either way. It's just the fact that, yeah, things could get a lot better. They could get a lot worse, or they could do what we've been doing for the last 5 months and just sort of be choppy.
Absolutely. Arnie, I'm going to move over to you. I was saying earlier, our market exposure on IBD is recommended between 40 and 60%. Where are you sitting with that, and how are you feeling right
Uh,
now?
yeah, Rachel, I'm on margin actually. Just kidding, I'm not on
I
margin.
was going to say. Yeah.
No, it's just just being cautious. Like last week, we've been living under that 50, looking at the Nasdaq, and that's one of the indices I look at. I follow. You can see it in the SPX as well, living under the 50-day. Really, there's hurdles that we have to get over, the 21 day and the 50 day, but big, the 50 day. The 50 day is showing to be resistance right now for a lot of these major indices. With that said, this is a very choppy market. Protect your mental capital. In the end, you want to, I'm a big believer, and I love saying this, instead of making pennies, I want to make dollars. And if you don't see any type of feedback from your portfolio, something is wrong. Okay. You need to tell yourself that. Now, as far as, come February and early March, historically speaking, they've been weak performers. We'll see what happens. And David said it could happen next week. It could happen 3 months from now. Who knows, right? You always want to be better. And if you feel like the market's shifting or you see signs of it, this is what you're interpreting, pilot positions, small positions. You don't have to plunge in and pick and get exposed too big. I have too much exposure in the market. Slowly go into this market, but it's a tough market right now. And these are the type of markets that really, really can have a drastic effect, not only on your portfolio, but also on the mental capital. You're going to lose confidence. It can have an effect. It's happened to me a couple of times as well, because I'm fighting on what I'm actually seeing. And I'm learning to, okay, I'm seeing this. It's under the 50 day. There's something wrong. Why is it not moving? But all in all, right now, it's as far as my exposure rate, I'm probably closer to 40-50 for my short-term portfolio. But I will say this, looking at the NASDAQ, Rachel, I did like seeing that that upside reversal that we saw the other day, the pink day. I did find that very constructive. But one day it doesn't make a trend. It's holding up very nicely right now. We'll see. I have a feeling this may test the 50 day again, and if it finds resistance, it could get slapped down again, or it can break through it. But it has to break through it. It has to prove that it wants to go up higher to me.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, we've got these clear resistance levels. We need to see them being taken out in strong volume to really confirm that new uptrend. So lot to be seen in the next few weeks as things unfold. Thank you everyone for your thoughts on the overall market here. First, I want to, as we get into stock and index analysis, David, I wanted to go ahead and take a look at IGV with you, which made this important bounce here off of the April lows. I think you talked about this previously as sort of a non-traditional setup. Obviously, overall market conditions are not great. This is kind of coming up against potential short-term resistance here. Do you have any thoughts on how this has been? And
I'm seeing a few of these, undercut, long-term undercuts working. And if those are working, then there's probably a lot of the regular stocks that we traffic in, the growth stocks, are probably not working. So there was actually one that that I bought, NOW is in that group, and you'll see it just had this. Yeah, you're gonna have to go to a weekly to see where it undercut. Yes, if you draw it back, it undercut that entire, going all the way back to December of 23 or so, and then base there for a couple of weeks. You see, it went sideways for a couple of weeks, and I think I bought it late last week or on Monday. Going back to the daily, it's having a real nice pop this morning. Then there's another one, and I didn't pull the trigger on this stock, but look at Ollie, OLLY, which I've been watching and watching and watching and watching. This is in a different group, but look at that same thing that happened there. See that it undercut that 100 on Monday or Tuesday. Go to the daily, and you'll see that a little bit. Yeah. So it's just amazing how it came down, undercut that 100 in November, undercut the 100 all the way back of April of last year, and then rips to the upside. So if that's all that's working, then this we're gonna have trouble finding names. So Yes, that software got way oversold, and maybe people are saying, hey, AI is going to put them out of business. But this is, as you've said, this is not a traditional buy spot. This is more of probably more of a trade, and I'll probably be out of it. And if it gets up to that 50-day moving average. But again, if that's what's working, then the places that we usually go to are not. The other thing I noticed just this morning is look at the consumer staples. Look at Procter and Gamble. You think, oh, I can hide in some of these things, and it actually has been very good since the beginning of the year. But look how quickly this is coming off in the last 4 days. I think Coca-Cola is another one. I haven't gone through the whole list of these types of names, but dude, that's the type of market we're in, is where something works and then it doesn't and it clicks off. And so you have to be either very, very, very nimble, or just try to have to ride through some of this volatility.
And maybe it's okay to pay attention to some non-traditional setups as well.
Yeah, if
Get a
you
little
know,
information.
I don't know. I haven't been really following, this type of setup for that long. So I think you have to have a lot more patience if you want to get a long-term move, but you're gonna be running into overhead or declining trend lines. So you have to be careful. If you got in right, then maybe cut back and see how they start setting up.
Yeah, and this one will be coming up against the 50-day line, so that'll be potential level of resistance. And we'll keep an eye on this. Thank you for that. Ed, let's go check in on Palantir here, which is a software stock. This one approaching 50-day line here, could be something important happening. Pretty strong move over the past few days. What do you think about this?
Yeah, it is interesting. This is trying to get up there. I think one of the interesting things that'll happen is that this could be a potential buying opportunity for really aggressive people, or a shorting opportunity. You can imagine. I wouldn't, and I don't want to do either one because of this market, and it's also volatile. You would, Palantir got, look, software is getting a lift. All of these names that got crushed because of software. Well, this is why we talk about not just markets but also sectors. I mean, the sector is doing better, so Palantir is doing better, and also Palantir has the defense angle, so it's getting a defense boost from the war. Yeah, I mean, look, this could come up right up to these levels, so the 50-day or 200-day line, and then reverse lower, and that could be a thing. But the risk is that something happens, is that something positive happens for the market, and then Palantir surges 15%. So you wouldn't want to. That makes it, in this kind of environment, makes it extremely dangerous, I think, to short. And on the flip side, I mean, it's gone up, or it'll have gone up a fair amount. I'm not really looking to buy. Look, if it goes above the 200-day line and the market has done a powerful follow-through, and there's real reason to think, et cetera, that the market has turned, that's a different situation. But if it punches higher today, it's just like, I wouldn't want to. But, it's nice to see, Palantir trying to make a comeback, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. Arnie, let's just take a quick look at AVGO, which is making a move up to its 50-day line. This is not one that I really want to do analysis on. I just wanted to point out that it is currently trying to get up to an important level here. So just one to be, watching. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you
Any
want me to
thoughts?
comment on it, or
Sure, if you have thoughts.
You know what? I love the fact that it's above the 200-day, but it is finding resistance at the 50-day, until proven other. Its personality is telling me that unless it gets above the 50-day, it's going to continually trend down. You can see it there when I touch that 360, touch that 352, keeps touching it. And this earnings came out. That was the catalyst for today, right? That's why earnings, it's up today, right? If it can't break through that with earnings, there's something wrong. And that's telling me how weak the NASDAQ is right now. So AVGO is a big name. Just looking at this here, and you can also see the RSI line, right? But just looking at the technicals here, it has to get above the 50-day, period. And then we the,
I was going to say, it's fascinating how many times, one, two, three, maybe four, five, six, maybe 8 days it's touched that 50-day and it cannot get through it. Just why?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm asking myself. That's what I'm interpreting. And David said it best. Why?
Yeah, and I think that Palantir, I think a lot of these are looking like better shorts than they do longs, unless they can get up and through there. Another one is kind of the poster child for this is ARK, ARKK, which is has a lot of these stocks into it. Kind of a, you know, it gets what took really 3 or 4 days in the last part of that decline to accomplish. It's taken about 4 weeks to get back. So here's another one that you really want to see these things get back above their moving averages.
Well, and then there's one more to app kind of in a similar boat here, coming right up to the 200-day line. Good couple of days, but yeah, it's really got to break through this area to be, I think, anything worth looking at.
Yeah, and the other thing too is look how many months it stayed above that 500 level. I mean, that's three, four, that's probably about 6 months of overhead. And there's probably a lot of people who are saying, boy, if I can get back up close to where I bought it, that's what creates that overhead supply.
Right.
I actually bought this soon after earnings, just as a trade,
Oh.
and just as a and now I do have a decision to make. I certainly wouldn't be recommending it here.
Oh, look at
Interesting,
that.
Ed. What day
Bottom
did you get
fishing here.
into?
Okay.
Well, I sort of felt like I don't want to buy IGV.
Catching a couple of shrimps. All
I don't
right.
want to buy
That's cool.
IGV. I thought App had a better opportunity to be leveraged, but I also knew it had more downside. But I wouldn't be buying it here, especially here. But even if it got above the 200-day, 50-day line, I mean, that's a pretty steep downturn on the 50-day line. I guess I'd probably, you know, and again, I'd want it to go maybe up to 600, sort of maybe break a downtrend or somewhere in there, form a handle, you know, settle down. Again, a lot is depends on the market. And if this ring reverses hard from here, that would be a signal. I just want to get out of here, take my pennies and go home.
You must be trying to follow Scott Sinclair. Your inner Scott Sinclair is coming out.
I think so. Yeah, sometimes I just can't help myself, and yeah, I mean, it's working, you know. But I sort of was thinking. I was thinking about the IGV undercut, and I was thinking about that, but I just didn't really want, or things like that. But I'd rather buy app than something else, and that was just what I did. But we'll see. But I wouldn't recommend it now at all.
And Ed, what day did you get in?
It
What was your entry?
you know, it might have been
Roughly.
the day after earnings. So I think I'm somewhere around 370. I'm
Okay.
not sure, 375. I don't have it in front of me, but that rings a bell to me.
Nice.
So that's a pretty good run at this point, you know, and so
Yeah.
I've enjoyed that. But I mean, it's also like, how much more is it going to go in a choppy sideways market? We're getting these relief rallies in things. And so you just have to, I mean, you know, and some other names, some optical names, some other names are falling today. So that's, so you just don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, Arnie, I want to go ahead and move over to your pick for today, which is DRS. This one, you know, it in my view, I saw it as, you know, getting above this level 45.70, but I know that you would probably be fine to wait for the 49.31
There you
pivot.
go, for
Because
sure.
that's how you do it.
Man, let's
But
look at
it's
that week. It
nice.
looks so much better than the daily.
It does. Yeah, nice bounce off of these moving averages here.
Yeah, you're seeing that there. Look, slim pickings. I mean, I'm not going to say, oh my God, this is, let's find a stock here, but this is kind of looking good. I like the industry group that it's in. It's 14 out of 197. Look at that. RS line is pointing to 2 o'clock. RS range at 87. The new part, we got a new CEO. Let's see if we can make some money with this now, right? Let's get that catalyst going. Look at that 50 day. It's about to cross the 200 day, which I like to see. And if you compare it to other stocks in the market, this is looking pretty good, right? Here's a catch though. It has to break through that resistance, the pivot price. Which, can you share that with me again, Rachel? I apologize. My system's a little slow. It is at 49, 31. Now it is at a fifth stage base. And for those of you that are new and this and that, with the fifth stage base doesn't mean when the breakout happens, it's not going to work. It's just historically speaking, the probability of the breakout working goes against you. So you want to be a little bit more quicker on the defensive end. That's why I release approach it. But with the composite rating 94, you know, look at the top five companies within that industry. They're in the 90s, right? And that right side of the base is being formed. But looking at this as well, it finds support at the 10-week line. One, two, three, four touches and gets above it. It starts moving, all right? So you have three there. That's what it's telling me. They're supporting it. They're coming in, and it's getting picked up. So, yeah, I would definitely keep this on a watch list. I like the industry that it's in. Obviously, aerospace defense. We all know why. So there's definitely a thematic plus to this as well. Earnings are out of the way, coming out in 56 days. Found this on the near pivot in the Grow 250, which is a report that I love to look at on a day-to-day basis. Can I see the daily chart now? I just want to get scared a little bit. Just want to wake me up. Let me get a little, let's check out that volatility. Yeah. You know, ATR is at 5.26 there, but, yeah, let's get that 50 day to start moving up above the 200 day. Let's get everything stacked up in our favor. We should be good to go. But drawing that line there, I'm sure Rachel, you'll be looking at around 45.70, right? Pull back, test that little area there, little consolidation is game time. But for me, I'm at 49.31.
I would have probably done that trend line, like on the earnings thing, like do a trend line, downward sloping trend line, maybe there or across, when it crossed 50.43, you know, but on earnings. But
and after today, it wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. It would not surprise me.
But so, one thing I gotta hear is, Arnie, yeah, in this kind of environment where we go up for 2 or 3 days, if we manage 4 or 5 days up, it just seems like buying breakouts is even harder. I mean, like, okay, there's breakouts versus early entries, but it just feels like breakouts, like clearing the top of the base, is just very difficult because the market just can't sustain any kind of run. So if the tide pulls out, as it, you know, it's just rapid tide in and out, how can DRS, if it gets up there, I mean, this may be one that does, some have, but you know what I mean? Like with breakouts, it just feels like they just don't go long enough that by the time
you get that
to
weekly
breakout,
chart again. Yeah. That see how things change when we start talking? Let's keep it there. the week looks good. So can it happen? Maybe, possibly. I'm not going to predict, but that's the way I like to invest. And I'm not looking for to capture all of the move here. Look, if I can capture 80% of that move, I'll be very, very happy with it. And you're going to hear me say that over and over again, but I like the industry group. I like the stock that it's in. We have a new CEO here that RS Line is starting to look very, very healthy, and we'll go from there.
All right. Fair enough. All right, David, let's go take a look at LNG, which I believe this is one that Justin and I briefly talked about on the Stock Market Today video earlier this week. Had a nice move up, a nice gap up here on earnings, and it's been holding those levels. You know, it looks crazy on a daily chart, on a weekly chart. You kind of get a clear picture of what's going on. But does this, you know, is a name like this worth watching to you, or any names in this group interesting?
Yeah, I think this looks, I think this, I mean, it's strong, went into new high ground, or at least almost into, well, I guess barely went into new high ground, but it's, you know, it's up from 186. Now we're trading at 250. Best thing that it could do is just go sideways for a couple of weeks and then continue its move. But there are other ones in the group. I mentioned Tidewater. I mean, this is not, I mean, related group, but you look at Tidewater TDW, and this had nice earnings. I sold some into the earnings. I still have a smaller position, but it, same thing there. That's, it's up there and it's extended. It's gone, you know, it's gone from 60 into 83. And so you just have to wait for a pullback or a longer base. Other ones, another one I own in that group, Floco, FLOC, is, that's slowly coming around. So there, and then I saw in the question and answer, looking at the refiners, look at Dino, D-I-N-O. Is acting well, coming up, and maybe here, if it can drift for a week or so sideways, that looks okay. MPC is another one in that group. That's actually new highs that really just broke out a couple of days ago, getting a little bit out there. PSX is another one. And that's maybe just coming out of there. So there are, you know, there are related oil groups that seem to be doing well, and that might be an area to be concentrating on.
Yes, very good. Ed, let's go ahead. There are definitely some people who are asking about the dollar. So DXY, some people in the Q&A asking about, let's see if I can get a chart that shows it. Okay, very good. It's kind of coming off of lows, getting above moving averages here. Do you have any thoughts about the move here? It's obviously related to what's happening on in the environment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's, you know, one reason why I think that's driving things. I mean, I don't know how long this will last. Look, if things calm down, the dollar could easily just fall back out. So even with a stronger dollar, we're seeing what oil is. This is also energy prices are just sort of skyrocketing everywhere else. I mean, that's the weaker the dollar is rising, we're still seeing oil just skyrocket. So you can imagine what is in other currencies, and they're more dependent on LNG than we are. Yeah, I mean, it's making a move. I don't know how long everything, you don't know how long it'll last. It just makes it very difficult. You know, you can't say, oh, the dollar is a safe haven. I mean, it is in the very short run. People are rushing into the dollar, obviously. But, you know, if you know, Iran says we're capitulating, we're going to do this, and Trump says, okay, I'm going to stop firing and blah, 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 the dollar will probably tumble. Oil will fall $20. It just makes it really tough. You know, defense stocks will sell off. I don't know what'll all happen. I don't know. So it's just really tricky. And I think that's just in general. There are so many markets that are making pretty heavy moves one side that could completely reverse in, you know, a few minutes, hours, or days. So it just makes it very difficult to make decisions off of that.
Arnie, I want to take a look with you at CDRE, which is in the security space. Industry group is, you know, not necessarily strong, but this is one from the IBD Ready List, and it's up 3.7% today. So it had a nice gap up here. Let me see. I'm not sure if this was earnings related. No, it's not earnings related. Earnings are coming up in 6 days. But this one, you know, up in the buy zone above that left side high of the space. What do you think about this one?
You're seeing a gap up there on the daily chart. But looking at the weekly, earnings are coming on 6 days. Industry group, you know, rankings at 139, composite ratings at 93. RS Line's at a new high, leading the charge because you see that blue dot there. Look, market direction's huge here. So I'd be very, very careful here. We did get that gap up, possibly on news, I'm assuming. Something happened. I'm not quite sure. Let me see that daily chart. There's an air pocket on that. Yeah, you see that pack up that, and then you're getting an upside reversal right now, retesting the pivot price, kind of pull back and fill in that gap. You know, just I'd keep this on a watch. It's like that. I like that it did break out. I'm just trying to figure out why it broke out. That's the reason. It's only up 1% from pivot, but the market is still not healthy enough for me to take this type of risk. You know, and David had said it earlier, risk management, you know, it's everything. So watch list
All
for
right.
now.
And this is protective gear, like I think like for first responders. I mean, I think that there's some, so it's not like security software or such. It's more like, you know, really protective uniforms and other things, you know, like I'm assuming Kevlar vests and other things, but I don't know exactly what they do. But that's what this company does.
Thank you for that. David, let's take a look. This is one ticker that when I was looking through all my stocks last night, this is one that looked interesting to me, one that kind of stood out in terms of it had this nice move, maybe forming a handle in this cut base here. You know, I'm not so sure about the fundamental side of things, but at least on the chart, it looks interesting. What do you think about this?
Yeah, well, they've got a great earnings report, and that's why it gapped. And if you go to, well, you're on there, the weekly chart, you'll see that acceleration in those earnings that last quarter, which is a good sign. I mean, when you're in the teens, 18, 17, 19, 17, and then you get a 45% quarter, that's a very, very good sign. So it's I should really look into this more, find out. I think they had great sales in the AI area. And so right here it's extended, but this should definitely be on a watch list and something to check into, because there are very few stocks that have had great earnings reports that are holding up and haven't had a big move. I mean, look, that's a nice base. Look how long that base has been going back, almost for 2 years. So the key is, will this will those earnings be sustained? Will they keep on coming in the next quarters? And if they do, you know, stocks follow the earnings, and if those earnings are trending higher and accelerating, the stock's going to go right with it.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is not one that you would be, because of the market conditions, you wouldn't be looking at this as a handle.
Yeah, well, it just needs more time. It's kind of,
Yeah.
it's not at the high. I mean, it looks like if it goes sideways, this will be in the upper half of that, the cup that's been drawn. So that's good, but it just needs some more time. You're kind of in the middle, you're kind of in no man's land right now.
Yeah. All right. That definitely makes sense. One more for you, INTC, which is on our IBD ready list. It's getting support here at the 50-day line. Has this one been, one you've been watching?
I probably haven't watched this since the year 2000.
Okay.
No, well,
Cool.
no, it really actually hasn't done anything since the year 2000. And I know they've had a tremendous amount of problems. And now I guess the government actually owns a piece of Intel, if I'm not mistaken. From a technical standpoint, acting well, but I got to see a little bit more consistency in those earnings. It looks like those earnings have just kind of have turned. Well, yeah, they've just had a couple quarters of earnings turn. So this would not be on the top of my list.
I just, to me, it's crazy. I mean, I know that there's the crony capitalism advantage to it, everything, but they've had problems. They're still having operational issues making enough. And I know we don't talk about it all the time, but it's like that PE of 112. It's like, why would I want to buy a company that doesn't, it hasn't really operated well when Nvidia, I mean, I'm not, and Nvidia is not technically isn't there, but Nvidia is a 38 and it's growing like gangbusters, which to me is safer. Like to me, Nvidia has better prospects than Intel, which just struggles. I mean, again, I don't know. Like Intel could turn it around and they could finally, okay, they're ramping up, their foundry business gets going. Everybody, works with them because of the US government stake. But I don't know. There just seems like a number of higher quality chip names out there, in general, in terms of their fundamentals and other things. I don't know, like Intel, it seems like it's risen a lot. It's risen a lot, basically on expectations that being part of the involved with the government will help out a lot. And it has, probably, yeah, it probably has. But it like 2% growth in 2026, 7% in 2027. And these are like after really some really easy comparisons. I mean, the earnings are way below where they were in 2021. It's just like, it just seems like there's probably 20 better chip names in terms of their fundamentals at least.
Yeah, very good.
But it's technically better.
Ed, let's move over. Some people are asking about Anet here, which is getting above key level, getting back above the 50-day line here. Choppy base, a lot of back and forth, but maybe some early entries to keep an eye on, everything depending. But what do you think about this?
Yeah, and Anet, I think they use a lot of Broadcom gear, so positive Broadcom stuff I think can be helpful for them, and there's the whole question about, I think they probably like the idea of Broadcom doing well, also because Nvidia is trying to basically steal good for Arista in that regard. So that's probably one reason why it's up. So yeah, I think that trend line would be somewhere maybe people could get into if there is there is the fact that probably if it gets up there pretty soon, next week perhaps, Nvidia is going to have their GTC event, And they're so yeah, that'll be March 16th to 19th, but there'll be a keynote address by CEO Jensen Huang on March 16th. So that'll be important because they might say, by the way, we're doing this something, this Ethernet that'll completely destroy Arista, blah, 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 blah. So just something to keep in mind. Of course, if they don't or people aren't impressed, then Arista could really take off. But that is something that's out there. And that's one reason why Arista has been choppy, because of those existential threats. Because this is a very choppy stock for something that has such fairly consistent earnings. I mean, this is not that one that flies off, but it has big moves on earnings and stuff and around, I think in part because of that existential fear versus huge growth opportunity.
Right. Very good. Arnie, let's go ahead and take a look at RRC, which is this one, another one that's part of the oil and gas explorers and producers group, trading in a buy zone here. This base looks like it undercut the most recent base. So we've got kind of a stage one here, I believe, or maybe not quite. But this one's trading in a buy zone. What do you think about this chart?
Love the industry that it's in right now, obviously. If you really have to get in the market, and possibly we're seeing that rotation take place where we're seeing oil and gas really start holding up very, very nicely. If you compare this stock to the S&P or the NASDAQ, two different worlds, right? I would definitely keep on the watch. It is actionable. Earnings are out of the way. I'm not looking at the RS line, but I'm RS rating. I'm looking at the RS line, how it's sloping up at 2 o'clock, which is a very bullish signal. Accumulation distribution range is at an 8, which I love to see. The top five companies within that group are in the 90s. Very, very strong. And earnings estimates for 2026 have been revised as well. You can see that delta there. Just looking at it's basically at a neighboring basis there, right? So it really has to push through, and it's doing that now. I think the environment's great for this type of company and the industry that it's in. Can I see the daily chart? Yeah, that 3-month RS ring is at a 91. It's actual. Yeah, I would definitely look at it. Looking at sales to the last two quarters have been accelerating 19%, 21% for earnings, 17%, 31% for sales. So, market direction is big there, but this is one of the few industries where if you're going to want to have exposure in the market, this is where I'd be searching for.
All right. Very good. David, one, you know, we were looking at a lot of these names earlier, oil and gas related. I don't think we looked at CNX, but just wanted to get your thoughts on this chart and sort of where it's at, breaking out from a cup with handle base, really strong RS line here. Yeah, love to hear your thoughts.
I think it, I think it's, it looks good. I mean, it looks like, well, earnings for this, this year it says only up 4%, up 54% next year. I think that looks pretty good. Nice. I like longer bases. And that could be actionable right there.
All right. And if you were to try to do something with it, what kind of position would you take on right now?
It's tough. I mean, it's yeah. Tough. I mean, I when I look at it again, it's gone from 37 to 42, and it seems like anytime a stock pokes its head in a new high, lots of times they get hit. I would probably take a small, very small position. You know, maybe 2.5% position, and then see if it can either follow through, get up and out of there, or even if it pulls back and gets support on 40, 41, and holds and starts turning, then I might add to the position at that point. So it's here where you can start getting excited and get too big of a position, and then it just reverses on you. So. I would probably start very small and then look to add to it.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that. Ed, we're getting a lot of requests to take a look at stable coin play, Circle, which has come off or come up from the bottom here, took out the 50-day line a few days ago or a few weeks ago, and is, branching out into new, into higher territory, not new high territory. But what do you have any thoughts on how this is doing here?
I mean, it's made a nice move, I suppose. Somebody could have bought it off of earnings off of that when it went above the 50-day line, along like that. I mean, there are prospects that the growth is very strong, but man, there's a lot of overhead resistance. There's a lot of overhead resistance, and it's just if that's a 10% ATR, I mean, you could buy this, and if the market goes badly like today, this could be down 15, 20%. I'm not saying, but there's a lot of stocks like that. So I'm not trying to pick on Circle, but at this point, it is 46% above its 50-day line. So it's not bottom feeding anymore. So it seems like very much a no man's land. That no man's land is enormous for what? No man's land from 100 to 280? I don't know. I mean, it's just like, I don't know where to like, I would like it to set up. Like, and maybe come up to at least 160, like get up to that area where it sort of traded there, maybe then form a base, whatever, then something. It is interesting growth prospects, unlike a lot. So I don't know how stable it is up and down. I don't know if crypto volatility change it. Maybe stablecoin is, right now has that secular growth. But to me, it's really extended and it, and still way off things. So it's a no-go. I think it's fine watching it, seeing it been set up again. But yeah, it's a great move. I mean, so those who bought it, I know people have been asking about it. So those who did buy it recently, congratulations to you. But I think at this point, want to wait for it to set up. And again, I think a better market. And there's just a lot of risk with this thing right now.
I'd agree with you there. And one more for you to take a look at in a very different group, going over to the mining space. AA is one that we've checked in recent weeks and was a recent stock of the day. It really tried here with this breakout yesterday, but just closed near its lows. But it's coming off of the 50-day line here today. What do you make of this action?
It's really tough, and this shows you. Look, I mean, let's go to a weekly chart on this too. I want to see how this one. It may, it's going to be a tight week. It may be starting to work on a 3 weeks tight. With this, it's basically flat. But if you bought on strength, you what a whipsaw action you had. Yeah, I mean, it was looking so. When you go from Tuesday, Tuesday's low to Wednesday's high, it's like, all right, here we go. Boom, boom, boom. It's breaking out. And it just comes right back down. This is makes it tough because even if things hold up over, generally, even if things are, showing some strength, it can still be difficult. I don't know what happens with it because I don't know what you do with it. This is just why it's just really a difficult market. There's a lot of stocks like this. I was thinking, that they break out or they make moves and then they reverse lower and then they try to steady and then it's like, oh, it's hard to make money in that environment.
Well, Arnie, one name that I've been watching for a little while, one of the names that's been showing some real strength with an RS line blue dot here is UI, Ubiquity. The group is also strong, 22 out of 197. I think we looked at this a few weeks back when it was forming this handle here. It's continued to drift higher. Has this one been one that you've been watching?
It's been showing up in the near pivot for the last couple of weeks. I've been watching it. One of the things we pointed out, though, if you go to the weekly chart, is management ownership. That's I don't know. That's that worries me a little bit. Where's we have that
Oh,
there?
right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
Very
it's
high.
very, very high. And that's what we were looking at. Just FYI, I think it was in the 80 percentile. But looking at it, RS line's at a blue dot. You can see that there. It's looking strong, it's forming that right side of the base, above average volume. You can see a couple of skyscrapers around the base area there. Found support at the 200-day, immediately started trading above I'm sorry, the 40-week, immediately started trading above the 10-week and then started taking off. You have one, two, three, four, five weeks where it's closing at the 90 percentile on that price bar. It's being accumulated. I'm seeing that, but management owns a little too much for my taste. But it's not to say it's not going to work. You can see that this stock can move. It can move once it breaks out. So just looking to the left of the personality of the stock, you saw it go from 400 450 to ballpark range 800. So it has legs. I'd keep this on the watch list. It is actionable. Number of funds have increased as well. Top five companies with that group are within the 90th on the 90. RS rating 3 month is at 97. Let me see that daily chart one more time, please. Thank you, Rachel. Yeah, see, one of the concerns I think I had is on the left-hand side, that gap down. Was it able to fill in? You can see how it consolidated where you drew that line there. That down, that was a lot of selling pressure after earnings. Yeah, one, boom, takes a big hit. That's one of the biggest one down days it's had in a very, very long time. I would say since of August, of mid-August. So looking at that, it was living under the 50-day for a while, consolidated. Started bottoming out now from that right side. So this is looking very, very, to me now, as I start looking at it even more, it's looking very, very strong, very resilient.
You're talking yourself into this.
I'm looking at it now. David, I'm over here going like this. Wait. I'm looking at this now. I'm like, wait a minute. This is kind of looking, let me, I'm spending like 2 or 3 minutes before I just go next, right? Now I'm like breaking it down. So yeah, I'd keep this on a watch list, hot list.
The only thing that I've looked at this a few different times, it is very, very thin, meaning it does not trade. How many shares has it traded today? 8,435. So, so in a week, yes, it can trade 300,000, but there's a very wide spread in the stock between the bid and the ask, and it can move, as you can see, it can move very, very quickly to the upside and to the downside. I think it just needs a better, more of a handle here, but you just have to be careful of that lack of liquidity.
Yeah, definitely. David, I wanted to look at VRT with you, which, you know, if you just say it's extended, not interested, that's fair, but it is, you know, I wanted to bring it up because it's forming this, area here. Have you been watching this?
It jumped on earnings. It's been basing, and if it can come up and out of that base, that would probably be a pretty good buy right there.
Yeah,
because there's, I mean, look at that earnings line. That's the earnings line that you want to see in all your stocks. That's what creates the big moves, and that's what you should really focus on. Earnings, wherever that line goes. Wherever it goes, that's where that stock is going to go. And you can see when the earnings flattened out in June of 24, what did the stock do? The stock fell off during that period. When the earnings started picking back up, then the stock started moving. I mean, that big sell-off, that was probably April of last year. But there are others. Isn't Fix still continuing to do well? It just keeps on going. That a related area. I mean, look at the earnings line in that. Oh, God, look at it. It was already going up at a nice level, and it's even accelerating more. So that's a great stock. And if you can get that on a pullback, that would be another one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, definitely ones to be watching closely. If you're not in any of these AI related plays, are, you know, showing really strong earnings growth. So definitely.
Yeah. And that there are, you know, I'm, you know, after, you know, talking about having a lot of cash, there are still some stocks working, and stay with those if they're working, if they're in uptrends, if they're above their moving averages, if they have great earnings profiles. Someone brought up LITE and COHR. If you own those, you stay with those. I mean, they've gotten, I mean, especially this one has gotten, almost has gone from 400 to 800, and Coherence had a nice move. But if they have proper bases and they pull back, those could be candidates. But right here, they're just, again, they're extended. So there are names out there. And so I don't want people to get discouraged and say, oh, I can't find anything. There are names out there, but you just have to look, and you have to be very, very precise in your entries on these things.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to watch for a while and really be patient for that right entry to come along. I'm going to do 7:30 here. I'm just going to do a quick market check. We're seeing NASDAQ fading a bit, down 0.5%, the S&P 500 here down about 0.4%. Seeing the Dow down about 0.9 here. So things are coming off.
But it's interesting. It start if you go to the intraday or just a 10-minute chart on what's already happened on the queues or the you can see it started down and then it actually was positive for a few minutes. Now it's back to low. So lots of moving and lots of volatility. That's again a reason to go slow. Pick your spots.
Oil is up 5%, or at least I've seen that. So that's, getting over 78. It's the highest since June 2025. So, might end up being a 52-week closing high.
Well, Ed, I want to take a look at some travel names, which appear to be really struggling here this morning. We're seeing Viking start to undercut the 50-day line. One that I've been watching is Hilton, but that's today. That's really undercut the 50-day line. So maybe we're not getting a bounce here like we want to see. And then also Marriott is one more on our IBD ready list. Getting to that 50-day line, what do you make of this action here? That's happening.
Yeah, and these are probably the best because the airlines are terrible. The other cruise lines are terrible. I mean, probably fuel costs and just fears like you have to cancel flights, cancel cruises. I mean, I doubt there's too many cruises going to the Eastern Mediterranean right now. That would be my guess is that, but Viking, with its river cruise focus, was fairly insulated from that, but maybe there's still fuel costs for them. That's going to be a factor. If you're going on a Viking cruise, a lot of people fly to those. So there is indirectly going to be that kind of factor, whether they want to fly or just that the higher costs maybe for the flights. Yeah, I mean, this is tricky because it found support, it found support on Monday. Look at that. Boom. Then it reverses higher. Boom. Okay, here we go. Viking is going to hold. It's going to go. It's like, well, now it doesn't. So again, sometimes you hold and then you falter. That doesn't mean you hold today, doesn't mean you stop. It's always like I'd always talk to you the thing about a battering ram. The battering ram never goes through the gate the first time. They always have to, in a movie, they always go a few times. So it's not like, well, it didn't work, guys. Let's go home. It's just like, so I mean, maybe it holds, maybe it doesn't. So again, this isn't destroyed, or anything like that. So if you bought on the breakout or and you're down 2%, you can try to be holding it. I'm not saying it's like doomed, but it's just tough. And Marriott and Hilton, they don't directly have any fuel costs really to think of, but people are flying there. People are, doing things. And so I can just imagine where people just, if you start worrying about the economy, whether it's here or Europe, again, energy costs are just astronomically higher in Europe, from, what's going to be happening. Way, way more than what we're likely to face. So you can imagine travel being affected in Europe, say, and probably a lot of Asia, where they're relying on imports of LNG, and those prices have just absolutely skyrocketed. Not great. This was an area of strength. It's weakening now. I mean, it's just like that just makes it tough.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that. Arnie, let's go take a quick look at a TPR, which is one on our IBD ready list, kind of falling today, but it's holding up at the bottom of this, sort of base here. What are your thoughts on this chart?
First thing I'm looking at, is it above the 50-day? And it is. There's plenty of room there, right? And the 50-day is sloping up with it, catching up with it. First pull back to the 50-day, what happens? It bounces. You see that there may have been earnings. I'm not sure. That's a 25% bounce there, 3 days. Nice consolidation going backwards. I love seeing that left side, and then we get quiet. Volume seems still about average there. Let me see the weekly chart. Yeah, this is looking nice. I can see this pulling back to the 10-week, though. How far is the 10-week? Let's, if you click on the cross, there it is right there. How far is it? So we're looking at about 5%. I can see this easily pulling back to the 10-week. No problem. It's about 5%. I'd keep this on the watch list. Everything looks good. RS line's at a 94, composite rating. is at a 97. 3 month RS range is at a 97. Top five companies have 90s across the board. Estimate earnings for the last three quarters have been going up for earnings, well, flat the last two quarters, and sales have been increasing quarter after quarter within the last four quarters, five quarters, six quarters, actually. So, yeah, this is showing a lot of strength, and it's holding up. It's holding up in a mark like this. But, again, we got to be careful with market direction and go from there. So we're looking for – if it could break out of that consolidation, absolutely. But if you're looking for a low-risk entry, let's just see how it plays off the 10-week line and go from there.
You know, my concern with this whole space is that what else is doing well? I like a leader in a leading group, and I just feel like some of the stocks that have been doing Ralph Lauren, which was, you know, an upscale-ish type of thing, that was doing well, that's broken down. You know, Victoria's Secret, which didn't have the greatest numbers, that sold off hard on earnings today. AS, Amer Sports, that has sold off. Yeah, that's pretty ugly. So I'm sure there's things out there. So that's, and there's one name that's doing well, Figs, but that does like uniforms and stuff. That one sort of come back from the dead and just completely skyrocketed and done really well recently. But that's extended. It's like, I mean, it's hard to compare handbags, Coach handbags to you know, scrubs, you know, kind of thing. And so like, it's a little bit of a different situation. So that makes me a little nervous, sort of like in that Viking type of situation. It's great. You know, if things improve, Tapestry is definitely one to look at, but it just sort of makes me nervous. Why is it the only one that's holding up? And maybe there are good reasons and you say, no, it's really going to go keep holding up and keep going. But I don't know it.
David, you know, some people in the Q&A were talking about fertilizer stocks, which is also something I talked about with Justin Nielsen on the SMT video earlier this week. But just some names, you know, CF is one that's, you know, looking like it's getting extended. There's IPI, which is also, you know, been doing well today. NTR. Are you in this area at all, or are any of these names?
I was playing that by going with Moo, MOO, which is the agribusiness, and that got hit on Monday or Tuesday, and I've actually come out of it now, because that's also made up of other stocks. I think Caterpillar Tractor, which got very extended, has been coming off, and Deere, I think, is also a part of that. And so, no, I'm not. I've been in and out of them, and I've missed this most recent move. But that looks very strong. They look good.
Yeah, seems like not too much can be done, but just to be, you know, watching them and you know, waiting for potentially other entries to form.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm gonna go to the Q&A and let you know that I'll be doing a lightning round here in just a couple minutes. So if you want to put your tickers in, any ticker specifically for David Ryan to take a look at, we'll gather those up and shoot a lightning round in just a few minutes here. But before we get to that, let's continue with our normal stock analysis here. Tough pickings out here, you know, not a lot of great setups, but we're going to keep looking.
I had a few, that someone asked a question about, that they saw an article in Barron's, and it was on the drone stocks. And anytime, this is just something to do in the future. Anytime you hear a recommendation, or your friend says, "Hey, this stock looks good," or you read an article, always put it through the filter of, does it have strong relative strength? Does it have strong earnings? Is it in a nice uptrend? And so Barron's went out on these stocks, and that would be on ONDS is one, and. And I don't know exactly what they said, but I mean, this is in an uptrend, but, you know, it's a $10 stock. I would probably, you know, I'd probably pass on this unless I did some more work, but IRMD is another one. And I think, you know, going sideways, I mean, I think that looks better than some of the other ones. BKSY.
Okay.
You know, just kind of back and forth, you know, I guess doing well in the last few days, but I wouldn't really take. And then a close look at that, but AVAV is another one that's always had some big moves up, big moves down. You know, that's not doing so well. But the point is that anytime you get any idea, put it through the discipline that we talk about on this program. Put it through that. Does it match those characteristics? And if it does, well, then maybe you got a great idea and an investment. But if it doesn't, then just move on by.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice. Ed, I did want to take a look with you at BTSG, which is holding up. You know, I'm not necessarily seeing any particular buy point, but what do you think of how this is doing?
Yeah, I think it's acting very well. I mean, obviously, it came off highs, but the market's had a lot of things going on. So ultimately, it's holding up pretty well, holding the 10-day line, 21-day line, all these things. Really strong fundamentals. I think you probably could have bought it, you know, when it bounced from the 50-day line above 41.26. I mean, it's still technically in that buy zone. I mean, I'm just not that eager to be doing anything right now, but I think anybody who bought it recently is probably doing okay. This might be a 3 weeks tight though. This week we'll see. Made a big move. That is one thing. It'd be great if it could base out more completely, but it did have like previous tight patterns in a range. So it's sort of like a de facto flat base that it's sort of, you know, just on top of and that. So I think it's acting very well. And this is definitely an area that seems more stable. That Iran news and market news is going to hit this stock, sure, but much, much less than a lot of things that we talk about. You know, almost every sector, where it's defense, you know, energy, travel, you know, even things like chips have some direct or indirect kind of things to what's going on in Iran, and this not so much.
All right, Arnie, let's go ahead and take a look at SNDK. Nope, SNDK. One area that we haven't looked at today, but always good to check in on. I was kind of drawing a downward sloping trend line here. We've got these lows from a few weeks ago to, I think, keep an eye on. But just would love to hear your analysis here on what this one's doing.
Who, me?
Arnie.
Oh, Arnie.
It's looking good. I mean, it's pulling back. Nice run up, you know. I mean, it went from 284 to 720, 725. Let's not get greedy here. Then you see those two ants there on the very top, look for some type of consolidation. And the 50 days catching up right now. It's looking healthy to me. This is what I'm ex this is what I would expect after a run up. You know, a little bit of profit taking place, which is happening, but not too much. Let me see the weekly chart. Just want to see the percentage. So you got that power flag there at 79%. Power flag showed up 1, 2, 3 on the third week. After that, it went up a little higher. So it's up 79% from the prior base. This is going straight up. I haven't seen a stock like this in years. And you have the 10-week moving with it as well. Question is, can it give you a little bit more? That's the thing. And it's looking good. Just know that after a certain amount of time, expect some serious profit taking place. And what's giving me a little bit more conviction on this, I'm not seeing it in this type of market, and you're seeing it on the weekly chart as well. I would keep this on a watch list. If you're looking for an entry point, you want to see how it reacts off the 10-week. Give it some time. The 10-week will act like a magnet, may pull back, and then go from there. But then a nice consolidation start forming as well, break out of that consolidation. But all in all, it's looking healthy.
Can I
Yes, please,
counterpoint this
David.
one?
I know you wanted to jump in. Let me
No,
tag. Let me tag you in. Go ahead. Get in here.
I just go to the daily. This is what I'm how I look at it. But go if you can go to the okay. So now, if you could take off that the downtrend line that you have, and set up, go to, let's see, I have to bring it up. I'm seeing the stock break, and look at the break that the stock had, just a second, track price, that it broke, it really broke on 2.4 through 2.10, mm-hmm. broke down really hard, and then it took a number of weeks to get back up. But if you draw a line from that the low on 2.10, and you take it up to 2.18, and you even connect the highs of 2.12 to 2.23. I'm seeing kind of a wedge going on in that formation. Yeah, you drew the line a little bit. It really kind of broke that wedge about
more
2 days.
More of a steeper uptrend.
Steeper uptrend. So I see the stock break hard, and then it rallies. It rallies not good. Then it breaks hard again, and you're right at that 21-day moving average. For me, it would have to get back above that 20-day base out for a little bit longer, because I mean, you kind of go, it's a 250 move to 725 in a matter of like 12 days or something like that. I think it just needs a lot more time. So I would be careful. And then you're also seeing, if you go to others in the group, go to Western Digital, which also had a great move, and that looks a little bit questionable here. That it same thing there, it can't get back above that 21-day moving average. And I mean, this is only a couple of days, but I just think at the least they need a lot of time.
Yep.
Can I just counterpoint? I also add that Micron has earnings in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Most of these stocks could have bases just before Micron earnings. Not saying that you wanted to do anything. We'll see what the news cycle is like then. But that seems like that could be very important for these things. If these things continue to trend sideways, say, there will be bases for a lot of these names and potential catalysts there one way or the other. It doesn't have to be positive for sure. So that seems to me, you know, where everything's going.
Just my two cents on that, just since you said about the bases, they do have bases. Some of these do have bases. They're just not, I never put a high tide flag into Pattern Rec. I built it, but didn't release it for various reasons. But lots of these are high tide flags and or high tide flags in spirit. So if you want to study something like that, I would go back to Axon in 2004 and study how those handle themselves, but so you won't see a high tide flag pattern show up in market search.
All right. Well, thank you for pointing that out. David, I've heard you talk a lot about, or I often hear you bring up wedging, and I know a lot of our viewers do know what wedging is, but if you could just kind of explain a little bit about, you know, why wedging is a sort of a red flag.
Well, what it usually is the stock breaks hard, and then it rallies, but the rally is very, very weak. It's usually on lighter volume, and it takes a much longer time to recover. It doesn't come back really fast. It breaks hard in 2 or 3 days, and then it takes 2 or 3 weeks to get back what it lost in 2 or 3 days. And especially if it's on a lighter volume, and it kind of struggles where it has where the closes are near the lows of the day, it trades higher, closes lower, and then trades a little bit higher, closes lower. That to me is just kind of a weak performance after getting hit hard. So it's almost like a boxer in a ring. He gets hit extremely hard. He's staggering around the ring, and he just needs some time to get back on his feet and focus. And so that's sort of what I see happening in some of these stocks that have had the big moves, gets hit hard, and now are kind of wobbling a bit. So that's why I would say they need some time.
Very good. Great analogy. All right. Well, it's 7:50 now, Pacific, 10:50 Eastern. We're going to run through a very quick lightning round here before we get final thoughts. So, David, I will start with you, and I'll just take a look at FSLY. A couple people in the Q&A wanted your thoughts on this one.
Looks like it gapped on earnings and just needs a new base.
All right. Ed, let's take a look at Fast.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose you could, breaking the downtrend of a handle like was actionable there, though it pulled back from almost at the buy point. I mean, this is the, it's acting well. It's sort of like I would be watching it, see if it can break out now at this point.
All right. Arnie, let's look at WM.
It's actionable. It's in the pivot area, but pay attention to market direction.
All right. David, let's look at GLW Corning.
I've very strong. I just wait for a new base. It's starting to pull back.
Ed, someone particularly wanted you to look at VSNT.
I don't know why I would be the one to do that, but
Coming
it's
the
bouncing.
bottom.
I'd
That's
like to
okay.
see it.
It's all right. It's all right, Ed. We got it.
Yeah, I'd like to see it form a handle, like make a lot more progress or form a new handle or base. I'm not in love with the fundamentals at all. I mean, and cable channel, this is like the old Comcast cable channels, and those have declining audiences. So it just doesn't seem, I'm not sure what the prospects are. So you'd have to know more about that, but I would like to, it needs to maybe rise more and then form a handle or a base.
All right. David, let's look at CELC, which is biotech.
Nice base. I guess all losses. I see, minus 92, 101, minus one. This is where you'd really have to know their technology and what's coming down with, do they have approvals in the future? But for now, I'd be watching and to see if it can break out.
Okay. Ed, let's look at Lilly.
That's undercutting lows. So, I mean, that's something people who had already bought it shorter term should have been out a long time ago. But people who bought maybe down at 864 or something around that handle entry from prior, they might want to, just signs there. There was some news that maybe Lilly would do another one of these discount plans, but through employers. I mean, there's a lot of them, so I don't know if it's sure if it's really new or all that, but this is coming under more pressure. So we'll have to see. It's an important test. Maybe it rebounds from here, but not acting great.
Right. Arnie, let's look at RCAT.
Wait for a base being formed.
Okay.
Yeah.
David, let's look at GEV.
I currently own a small position in this. It's acting well. I mean, it's pulling back in here, but it had a nice move from, from almost 600, 617 all the way up to over 800. So it deserves to base.
All right. Ed, let's look at CIEN, Sienna.
Seem to be strong earnings and guidance, but this isn't great. So I think that people who bought this ascending base, they've given up a fair amount of their gains. So you might want to be thinking about at least taking some profits. I mean, people who bought way, way back don't necessarily have to do that, but that's not great. Even though, yeah, the numbers looked really good.
Arnie, let's go ahead and take a look at GLD.
Pulling back, wait for a base to be formed.
All right, and we will finish it off here. David, someone wanted you to take a look at JPM.
Starting to live below that 200-day, I mean, at least the last couple days it's been down there. I would just be careful. I'd really love to see it get back above 300. Hasn't broken down yet, but I would watch it closely.
All right. Well, I'm going to do a quick market check here and we'll get final thoughts and tickers from everyone. Thank you for all of that great analysis. So we're seeing the NASDAQ come off lows a little bit. So now down 0.1%, just a lot of back and forth so far this morning. We're seeing the S&P 500 kind of trading near lows around 0.4, coming off a little bit. The Dow we are seeing down, this one is trading near lows down 1.3%. And so lots of back and forth action. Lots to keep an eye on. I'm going to go ahead and get final thoughts here, starting with Arnie.
The market's acting, there's definitely showing a lot of weakness. I would definitely wait for looking at the NASDAQ, wait for it to get above some key moving averages like the NASDAQ above the 50-day. Prove to me that you want to go up higher. Historically speaking, February, early March are been weak months, as far as performance concerned. But also won't keep my keep the eye keep your eye on the ball. Still do your research, look for bases being formed. This is definitely a nice pullback we're experiencing. And start looking for potential. If we are getting that rotation right now, maybe look for other names as than we're used to, specifically the NASDAQ heavy industry groups that we've been looking at. All in all, be very, very disciplined with your entries as well as your exits. But you don't have to always be in the ball game. You can step aside, just let things settle a little bit, and protect your mental capital.
All right, very good. Ed, final thoughts or tickers?
Yeah, I think we've been saying this: be cautious, wait for your pitch, wait for whatever analogy you need, but wait for it. Let's take a look at Walmart, and again, this one sort of defied gravity. The numbers have been solid, but not amazing, and it had gone up on a big run. And today, it had actually been holding for the last several days on the 21-day line. And so it's been like a RAND war. Look at how safe it is. Safe it is. Oh no. And this is leading the Dow down. I mean, I'm not sure if it's the biggest point decliner. So it may not be the biggest drag technically, but this is the biggest loser on the Dow. It's not, and it sort of had just not a great situation. Just shows you that even when you think you've got something safe in this kind of environment, things can turn on, turn pretty quickly in a negative way. So again, just be waiting for things to get better, and maybe things will get better very soon, or we might have some kind of horrible news for a week, and then we go out on a dramatic rebound. I don't know. I don't know what that'll be. I don't have an edge. So it's just better to stay on the sidelines, for the most part.
All right, David Ryan, bring us home. What are your final
Okay.
thoughts to wrap this
Final
up?
thoughts. I learned a lot this session, just because Ed bought off a low. What was that stock? I was completely shocked. What is
App.
that? A
Well, I was inspired by you in part because of IGV, and so oddly enough, but I know it was a different situation technically. I know
No,
that.
okay. Next thing we're gonna know, you're gonna be buying Tesla on
Yeah, I was just going to
a
write about that. It's not doing the worst. It's not. It's bouncing off the 200-day line, but
That's
I will not be doing that.
that's looking good. But anyway, final thoughts. Two stocks. Dave was actually the symbol Dave was actually a few different times. It looks like a lot of back and forth consolidation. I know the stock this had I know it had some very nice earnings. I mean they've been almost up 100% every quarter for the, since March of 24. It just missed it this last quarter. So I would continue to watch it. It's been basing for so long. It just probably has to complete that, and I would wait until it really broke out of that 250 area. So I think that looks fine. Here's another one I actually bought. When you get a really good name, this and look to bring up Netflix. I use the product. Probably everyone out there uses the product, and it undercut. Here we go again. It undercut the low, going all the way back to what is that low? That was 418 of 25, so almost a year back. And I mean, it undercut all that stuff. And I just when you get something that is a leader in their field and suffers something like this, And the earnings actually are still coming. I mean, they were up 30% last quarter, but I mean, entangled in among that takeover battle. And I guess, you know, they didn't win it, but I guess people saw that as a positive. I have a very small position, but I was looking at that. And where is it now? It's kind of in the middle of no man's land. So you got to wait until it either bases out and then moves higher. But I've just seen that in super quality companies that have been around. Dollar General was another one. If you look at a weekly on that, another example of something that ran into trouble. You'd have to bring up the monthly, but that undercut all sorts of lows and has had a huge turnaround. So there are times when stocks can, you know, especially stocks that have the management still in place, that run into some problems. Sometimes there's some really great pullbacks or turnaround situations to look at. But overall market, just go slow. Be very, very discriminating in what you're buying, when you're buying, and still have a lot of cash until things improve.
All right. Well, we will heed that advice that cash is a position and definitely something to consider in times like this. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. That is going to do it for our show. Joining the show tomorrow will be Charles Harris, so tune in for that on IBD Live, same time as always. And we are going to get today's episode up on investors.com/IBD Live shortly, along with our ready list, watch list, and edited Q&A. So be sure, as always, to keep tabs on investors.com throughout the trading day and beyond for latest market news and analysis. And we will see you back here at the market close with our Stock Market Today video. And again, back here tomorrow on IBD Live. See you then and have a great trading day, everyone.
Recording stopped.